It's Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives for families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can make informed decisions, have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision-making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. In last week's blog, I shared part one of You Don't Know What You Don't Know when your loved one is critically ill in intensive care, and that was part one. You can check out last week's blog by clicking on the link below this video. In this week's blog, I want to hone in on part two of You Don't Know What You Don't Know when your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. I do believe that this is one of the most important blog posts and videos that I've done, because it turns out that most families in intensive care simply don't know what they don't know when they're dealing with a critical illness of their loved one. You don't know what to look for. You don't know how to make sense out of this very difficult and often overwhelming and challenging situation. You simply don't know how to counteract the negativity of the intensive care team, and you therefore don't know how to position your critically ill loved one's diagnosis, prognosis, as well as your loved one's care and treatment so that you get what you want, need, and deserve. So before I get into today's topic, I want to share a quote with you on this topic, and the quote says, "When you and your family are faced with this massive, once-in-a-lifetime challenge of having a loved one critically ill in intensive care, you simply don't know what you don't know. 99% of the families of critically ill patients in intensive care make no informed decisions. They have no peace of mind, no power, no control, and no influence, because they simply don't know what they don't know. Walking into intensive care is a bit like walking into the Matrix. It's almost like a hidden universe that is opening up in front of you, where you very quickly dislike what you see. Most importantly, what you see usually doesn't make a lot of sense, and if you find that it does make sense, it usually doesn't take long to become unraveled. You will also find that what you see is not always what you get in intensive care. Critical illness in intensive care is a very complex issue with dynamics unfolding that you wouldn't have even thought of in your wildest dreams. It's usually an emotional roller coaster ride that you had not anticipated, and there are no guarantees of a successful outcome for you and for your critically ill loved one, especially if you do what 99% of the families of critically ill patients in intensive care are doing, who make no informed decisions, have no peace of mind, no power, no control, and no influence. To increase your and your critically ill loved one's chances to get the outcomes that you want, need, and deserve, you very quickly need to find a roadmap of the territory. And you very quickly need to acknowledge that you simply don't know what you don't know, and you need to seek help very, very quickly. Once you have acknowledged that you simply don't know what you don't know, you can then take action towards filling the gaps in your knowledge, and in the process stand out from the crowd, make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence quickly. So let's dive into today's topic. As I mentioned last week, I do tremendously enjoy the work that I'm doing because I know I have a tremendously positive impact on people's lives every day all over the world. But because I also have a relatively large number of families find my website intensivecarehotline.com after they have lost a loved one in intensive care, I have found this to be very frustrating, because I know I could have helped them if they had only come to me whilst their loved one was still in intensive care. I could have helped them maximize the chances of their critically ill loved one surviving their intensive care stay. And how? because I know what questions family need to ask, and I generally know what families in intensive care don't know, what they don't know. I also know what intensive care teams are hiding from you and from your family. And once you start asking the right questions, and once you have a professional advocate involved like myself, who can speak to the doctors, to the nurses, and intensive care teams on the same level, I usually change the dynamics in your and your family's favor very quickly. You can go from feeling intimidated by the perceived power and the perceived authority of the intensive care team to getting a handle on things very quickly, and in the process getting real power, control, influence, peace of mind, and you can make real informed decisions. To give you an example and to illustrate what I'm talking about, some of the clients that I work with come to me when they're being told by the doctors and by intensive care teams that their loved one is dying in intensive care. So the question then arises, how do you know if this is accurate or not? How do you know if what the intensive care team is telling you is not designed to scare you and to manage their resources, such as beds, equipment, finances, and staff, to the best of their abilities? So how do you know if the intensive care team is telling you that your loved one is dying is not designed to empty one of their expensive, precious, and in-demand ICU beds and get the next, potentially more profitable patient into their intensive care unit? To illustrate this even further in an example, a few months back I was working with a client who was told by the intensive care team that it's quote-unquote in the best interest for their critically ill loved one to remove life support and let their loved one die. Now I can tell you, I get inquiries like this every day from all over the world. Now in this particular instance, like in many other instances, the family objected this and was told by the intensive care doctors that it was a quote-unquote medical decision and that they had no choice. How rude and inappropriate do you think that is? Well, I think it's very rude and inappropriate, but it's also illegal. So the family got me involved and hired me, and the family hired my services, my advocacy services, and through asking the right questions, through gathering evidence, through medical records, which you can access at any given time if you want to, we were able to find that the intensive care team had issued an NFR, a not for resuscitation order, without informing the family, basically without the family's knowledge, and most importantly, without family consent. Now, I was telling the family from the very start that they most likely had issued this NFR, not for resuscitation order, or sometimes it's also called DNR, do not resuscitate order, for their critically ill loved one without informing them. And I was right. I have seen and witnessed this over and over again in nearly 20 years intensive care nursing in three different countries, where I literally worked with thousands of critically ill patients and their families, and where I also worked as a nurse unit manager for over 5 years. And as I said, I witness situations like that now in my daily practice of one-on-one counseling, consulting, and advocacy for families of critically ill patients in intensive care, where I talk to and work with families in intensive care all over the world. It's the same over and over again. Families of critically ill patients in intensive care simply don't know what they don't know. They don't know that often intensive care teams fill in a DNR or an NFR without informing the family, or let alone with seeking family consent and actually getting a signature. So that's a real example where you simply don't know what you don't know, right? Back to our original example when working with this client. As soon as we had the evidence that the intensive care team has issued an NFR, not for resuscitation order, against family's wishes and without their consent, the family went to court and had the NFR order taken off by the court because the hospital had illegally issued the NFR order. And that all happened within less than 24 hours. The good news is that with my help, expertise, insider knowledge, and negotiation skills, the family's critically ill loved one survived their intensive care stay and is still alive to this day as I'm recording this in May 2017. The moral of the story, you simply don't know what you don't know. And without expert help and without professional advocacy, there's a very good chance that the intensive care team is not putting all their cards on the table. There's a very good chance that they hide behind medical and academic jargon that keeps you in the dark and is keeping you at arm's length. It doesn't have to be that way, and I can help you make sense out of these often difficult situations very, very quickly. I simply know what questions to ask, I know what to look for, and I know how to help position your critically ill loved ones' diagnosis, their prognosis, as well as their care and their treatment in a light that will help you getting the outcomes that you and your family want, need, and deserve. I can help you stay in control of your critically ill loved ones' fate and destiny. So in this situation with the client that I've just spoken about, you also got to keep in mind we've basically reversed an NFR form, or again in other countries it might be called a DNR form, a do not resuscitate order. If you don't want to hire me one-on-one, I actually wrote an ebook about how to reverse an NFR or a DNR, or how to successfully object a withdrawal of treatment decision by the intensive care team. So go and check out this ebook that I put a link below this video. So moving along, in other situations that come up in intensive care where you really want to stay in control is also when your loved one is very unstable and very critical. Also, if your loved one is in a life-threatening situation, or if your loved one is not waking up after an induced coma, or if your loved one is in intensive care for long-term treatments and long-term stays, also including long-term ventilation, or if your loved one is having a severe or traumatic head or brain injury, or if your loved one is threatened with an NFR, not for resuscitation, or DNR, or do not resuscitate order, or your loved one might be in a situation where the intensive care team suggests that a withdrawal of treatment or a limitation of treatment might be quote unquote in the best interest of your critically ill loved one. In those situations that I just mentioned, you and your family don't want to be another casualty of the intensive care team, and you don't want to be finding out that you could have gotten help quickly to maximize chances for survival for your critically ill loved one. As I mentioned in my blog last week, many families come to me at intensivecarehotline.com because they had a loved one die in intensive care. After their loved ones have passed away, they're looking for answers, and then they obviously find intensivecarehotline.com. They then come to us full of surprise that such a resource and support website, as well as counseling, consulting, and advocacy services for intensive care patients actually exists. But it's too late, their loved ones have gone. Yes, I can provide bereavement counseling as well, and we can review medical records so that families can get closure. But rather than hiring me for bereavement counseling or for reviewing medical records, I would much rather help you when your loved one is in intensive care so that we can maximize chances together to get your critically ill loved one out of intensive care alive. So, tune in for next week's blog, and here I've got something else for you. How can you become the best advocate for your critically ill loved one, make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence quickly whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? Well, you get to that all-important feeling of making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence when you download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you learn quickly how to make informed decisions, get peace of mind, real power, and real control, and how you can influence decision-making fast whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free Instant Impact Report gives you in-depth insight that you must know. Why your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you will also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions, discover the many competing interests in intensive care, and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle, and vulnerability, even if your loved one is dying. You get 5 mind-blowing tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path to making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control power and influence in your situation. You'll also get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. You'll get crucial behind-the-scenes insight so that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care and how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care, and it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's blog, and I'll see you again next week in another update. Make sure you also check out our Your Questions Answered section, where I answer your questions, or simply send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. Or you can call me, find international phone numbers on our contacts tab or at the top of the website. Also, check out our ebook section where you get more ebooks, videos, and audio recordings, and where you can also get one-on-one counseling and consulting with me via Skype, over the phone, and via email by clicking on the email and phone counseling tabs on the top of the website. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll see you again next week in another update.